Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
It is a time of the year, Lord, where we are rapidly now entering into this particular era, this year of 2018. It is highly significant in the prophetic scriptures. It is highly emphasized, and it comes along with repeated commands of repentance in the Spirit. And so, Father, we want to come, we want to humble ourselves in your sight. For it is written, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is also written, but the saving grace of God appeared to all men by faith in Jesus, in the power of your sacrifice of yourself, the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the power of the covenant. You have given us your Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. If we pray, if we obey, if we step into the will of God, if we stop all disobedience and move away from those things that cause stumbling, those things that cause defilement, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and the like, hatred, those things should be far away from us now. We shall humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord that you may lift us up. I thank you, Lord, tonight for every faithful person in this place. Every faithful and loyal person, loyal in heart, loyal in their doings, that chose on this night to come to the house of God, to be refreshed, to be strengthened, to be equipped for the year that lies ahead. In fact, for the future that lies ahead. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that you're with us, you'll keep us, you'll guard us. And Father, at the same time, I want to pray that you will bless all of us. Your blessing is what makes absolutely all the difference. When God's commanded a blessing, no demon in hell can stop that. Nothing can cut it off. No human being, no man. When God's commanded a door to be open, it shall be open and it shall stay open because the Lord has opened that gateway. Therefore, let the doors and the windows of heaven, particularly over these people that tithe and sow so faithfully the kingdom of God, they know that it drives away the darkness out of their finances. And Lord, that you would bless them abundantly like Isaac. And that, Lord, the end of their days will always be bigger than the beginning of the days. And that, Lord, you will prosper them. They'd be able to help other people also. They'll be able to give to others. And they are people that you placed on earth and blessed so that they may be a blessing to other people and to the household of God. We thank you this night for the word of God. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Thank you to the band. I have to just go to this little piece of this material here. And that is namely these forms. Now, there's a lot of people tonight in the church, just like yesterday, Sunday, all the time. We see a huge crowd of people, and we want to greet the people off out there on the internet. We know there are people watching us from Europe. There are people watching us from Indonesia. There are people watching us from the Philippines, from Japan. They're watching us from Israel, from the United States. Actually, the evening service reaches east and west the best. So this is a good time, and we're like 7 hours back from now, a little bit more than 7 hours back will take us to 12:47 in Chicago or the central USA time. Now, here is a card, and every year we give this particular card because I personally think it is very close to the hearts of each and everybody. You know, I have many people come to see me through the years, and they would talk about this, talk about that, talk about the other thing, but at the end of the day, the one thing they want is, Pastor Harold, will you pray for me? It always ends with that. I would say the value of a counseling session is always outweighed by the prayer that follows the counseling session. Far outweighed. And so people just wait for just that moment. Had a person come into my office. We were in the previous building, and I'm just reminded of it now. They'd come in from Zimbabwe, and this was deaf, altogether deaf. And she sat with her husband, and they'd come to see me that I would pray for her ears. Now, she was about, let's call it 40 years of age about, and I had to pray for her, but I couldn't communicate with her, so I wrote on a piece of paper, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" Put the paper in front of her, she read it, she wrote, "Yes." I wrote back again, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ can open up your ears and make you hear?" Here's the paper. She said, "Yes." She wrote it back because she couldn't speak and she couldn't communicate properly. So we were writing to and fro. At the end of which, a husband that sat there very quietly, he was a worker out there, I think a farmer or something like that, out there in, like I always say, Zimbabwe, Zimland, and a beautiful place, beautiful country. I remember that I wrote and I said, "Okay, come to me and come around the table, let me pray for you." So she and her husband stepped to the side of the table. I came around the other side and we met in the middle and I put my fingers in her ears and prayed for her. Just a straightforward prayer. Well, I want to tell you something. The expression on that woman's face, I cannot forget. How her face just completely brightened up. In one split second, somebody born deaf could perfectly hear everything. Just absolutely stunning. In one split second. And you know what? I think we could have communicated by paper. We could have communicated. I could have shown her some things of my writings. I could have written more and carried on and say, "Well, bless you. Have a good journey back to Zimbabwe," whatever. But I didn't do that. I prayed for her. That prayer, when God touched her ears and opened up those ears that were deaf from birth, 40 years of it, that single prayer outweighed any form of counseling. When God moves, He solves problems. Now, having said that, here are the prayer cards that we give at the beginning of the year, and they come to my personal attention. That's the first stop. They're collected, and then they come to me. And these cards, many have filled them in. Maybe you want to fill another one in for something else you might have forgotten. But the fact is, many have filled this in. And they go with me now. They go into the prayer room, the study. There's also a prayer room. There's a big plate still from the days of the tent that says Bidkamer and above my book rack. And so I would just say, okay, here are the prayer requests. Take it to God. I spend a lot of time in prayer these days with the Lord. And just particularly now with the Daniel fast, pray for the people. And I have so very much compassion on the people. And I so very much desire God to bless you in this year. It is a very strategic year. So if you want me to pray for you from me, I bring it to the pastors. We have a joint prayer over it. And then each district pastor, he gets his assignment of prayer cards. And there's a whole system of support that's built in behind these cards to help you, to help you, to your benefit, to your advantage. So if you haven't filled in one or you haven't got one, raise your hands right now. They're going to get to you and I'll give it to you. Just keep your hands right up and they'll get to you and they'll give it. Most people have already got it, but I'll take it up this week until Sunday. And then after Sunday, no more. And I suppose anybody could still get it to me. But, you know, we're in a 21-day Daniel fast and Sunday only 14 days are left over. Now, when you fill this in, please do not put anonymous. Because if I see anything without a name, I normally throw it away. Because I pray for people, not for anonymous, not for somebody that's not there. I have to know who it is I'm praying for, need the detail. They're there with a purpose. There's not much to fill in, But they're there with a purpose. Also got my vision for the year and my prayers for this year that you'd like us to pray for and over this card. So if you haven't got it yet, anybody else? Right. I think we've just about got everybody covered. Thank you very much. Just make sure that when you leave tonight, you give it in at the information desk, because we've already sent the offering baskets around. And we've also got some people here with some physical problems. We'll get to that. In the meantime, I want us to go to Lamentations, Klaagliedere van Jeremia, chapter number 3. Now, Jeremiah in Hebrew, Jeremiah is the prophet. And I'm reading in chapter number 3, and I'm reading verse 40. This prophet was a powerful one and a stunning one. If you study his very extensive writings, he's a stunning prophet. I think he stands out to me as one of the most profound writers of the Old Testament, clearly. And in chapter number 3, verse 40, he precedes Daniel and Ezekiel, and he lives in the time of Amos of Tekoa, which is south of Jerusalem. And here it says, I read from a new translation altogether. It's called the Israel Bible. The Israel Bible. And you can compare your text. It's Lamentations 2:40. Let us search and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands to the Lord in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. Jeremiah writes, you have clothed yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain without pity. The nation of Israel was, this is actually Judah, the southern tribes of Judah, were in severe problem with God. They had got in a state of backsliddenness, compromise. They've allowed things that God didn't allow, and the country was in turmoil. The northern 10 tribes were captured, carried away in captivity by the Assyrian Empire. Now remained Judah, Benjamin, the priests, the Levites, and a remnant of the rest of those tribes from the north that would still live around Jerusalem for the sake of the temple. And here in verse number 44 is the key verse I want to take you here. Again, Israel Bible, I read. You have screened yourself off with a cloud that no prayer may pass through. That really got my attention. Verse number 44. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. Now tonight, I want to say this, that God said, my house will be called a house of prayer. The Daniel fast is never complete without fasting and praying. And I've read this from this new Israel Bible. It actually is done by the Jews. It's done for the Jews, by the Jews. And it's got both the Hebrew text next to the English text. I see both as I'm reading here. I can see them both. And it's just very beautiful for me to look at it and see how it interplays and how the Jews the Orthodox Jews have translated this verse number 44. And I am just, that hit me so hard when I saw it. You've screened yourself off with a cloud, a screen of obscurity, a screen that hides the presence of the Almighty. So with a purpose that no prayer may pass through. He would not even listen to their prayers. And that's kind of a nervous situation for us as we are in the Daniel fast. We want our prayers to be heard. We want our nation and our people. They are so beautiful, so precious. In my eyes, I love the people of this nation, all of them. And I don't want this country to go without water. I don't want this country to go with a curse on the nation. I want the country to be blessed. I want the economy to be strengthened. I want the land to be uplifted. I rejoice when I see the economy get stronger. And it will. And it will. And it will. And it will. Yes, it will. So, with that in mind, I thought of myself looking at this particular verse here in the Israel Bible. It really stopped me in my tracks where it says, God says, in fact, it's Jeremiah or Jeremiah that's writing, and he says, you've screened yourself off with a cloud that no prayer may pass through. They only have the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, translated like that, English and Hebrew next to each other, and a brilliancy of brilliancy done by a team of Orthodox Jews, and they are serious about God's word. That's the one thing I can say about them. They are very careful not to even use the name of the Lord in vain. They'd refer to him as the name, Hashem in Hebrew. They'd rather say that than anything else because they don't want to use his name. They just say the name, Hashem, because they want to show respect for God. And of course, the Bible says to us, he who uses the name of the Lord in vain will not escape. And I often cringe when I hear people use even the name of Jesus in vain. And in all the Hollywood movies that you get coming out, they come out and they say those things. And I know right there, both the actor and the people that produce that, and even the writer of that script, that person, all of them are in trouble. The whole bunch of them are in trouble, right? Because of the blaspheming of the name of the Lord and the playing around and making a fool out of, or a foolish thing out of, worshiping and serving God. We have to have the fear of the Lord right at the beginning of the year. We have to make decisions. This is a time of decisions, because if you look at this particular section of Scripture, if you look at verse 40, it says, let us search out and examine our ways. That's what a fast actually should be about. Turn back to the Lord. That's again the word Shabbat, which means to return or turn back to God. When you repent in Hebrew, it simply means get back to God. Return to the Lord. That's as simple as that. You return to the Lord. And we are at an advantage because of the simple fact and reason that when we pray because we have a covenant now with God, and we approach him, Hebrews 10 verse 19, through the blood of Jesus, through the veil of the flesh of the Son of God, in Christ Jesus, with our hearts assured in faith. And as we purify and detoxify, which is very much part of this Daniel fast, which this year I think I'm taking more serious than any previous year of my personal life. This is our 28th Daniel fast, and 4 times 7, I want to tell you, I'm serious about this one. And I'm really not interested. I shut my mind off to any special, nice delicacies and pleasant foods. All of that stuff couldn't be bothered about right now. All I want is to be in the presence of God. And that's what I'm seeking. And I realize here when they say, let us search and examine our ways, turn back to the Lord. Now, I might just say to you that at this moment in time, there's a lot of stuff going on in South Africa, and there's stuff going on in Israel. Nature, for one, has gone wild. Nature as we know it has gone kind of, in many ways, out of control. Now, I could say a lot about that, and particularly think about the high-altitude auroral research project, which is in Canada on the eastern side of Anchorage. There is a university and also a military project rolling out where there is a high sensitivity frequency of radio waves that are sent up in what is known as the mesosphere. We are right here, The lowest where we are here of the atmosphere is called the troposphere. And then you have the stratosphere. Then you have the mesosphere. Then you have the thermosphere. Then you have the exosphere. That takes you 500 kilometers up in the air. Okay, if you go up 500 kilometers to the exosphere. But the mesosphere is the one that's got a lot of water. And God in the book of Job says, have you seen the giant hailstones that I preserved for the day of judgment? We read about them again in the book of Revelation at the time of the Armageddon. Revelation chapter number 16. You read about those gigantic hailstones that fell from heaven. I want to tell you something. No roof, no tile roof, no roof of any sort will be able to stop those things. They're going to cause death, those giant hailstones. Now what these guys are doing, they're pushing up high frequency, auroral research program, frequency, radio waves of like thousands of these transmitters pointed like a magnifying glass at one point in the mesosphere, and that causes now a disturbance there, activates and excites those molecules at that height, particularly the hydrogen-oxygen combination, the H2O, and also the winds that are now becoming excited because of the radio wave specific frequency. And then that is capable of changing the jet streams of the earth. That's going on right now. I mean, I could tell you many things that's going on right now. Okay? And that's going on right now. And there are strange weather patterns. Very strange weather patterns. I was looking at images today of the Sahara Desert for the first time under snow. First time in the north, the Sahara, there's a part of the Sahara Desert that's under snow. Have you seen that? I've actually saved the image so that I could just keep that one because that's absolutely extraordinary. Sahara Desert. In the meantime, there is the water, the rain in Israel is also taken down, as receded, and the water of the Lake of Kinneret, or the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, has also receded and dropped, and an island appeared in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And so, with a boat to the little island, get off the boat, and you have a bunch of rabbis, and they have got. In fact, I happen to have the picture open here in front of me now. And they also, from the Israel Bible, they've got this quote. And I think it's so true. You think of South Africa, you think of what's going on. Can any of the false gods, Israel Bible, Jeremiah 14, 22. Israel Bible, Jeremiah 14, 22. Can any of the false gods, think about that word, false gods. Takes a Jew to get it like that. Not just the idol, a false god. Of the nations, can any of the false gods of the nations give rain? Can the skies of themselves give showers? Only you can, Hashem, our God. So we hope in you, for only you made all these things. Can any of the false gods of the nations give rain? Answer is a flat no. You can have a couple of red Indians dancing in a circle and making a rain dance. It's not going to work. You can get a bunch of New Agers running around Table Mountain, wearing funny clothes and funny hats and funny shoes. And funny everything, and funny hair. Make a couple of funny things, and have crystals, and the like, and whatever. Can any of the false gods of this world give rain? Yes, God can. Our God can. Those false gods can't. And I say to you today, that it's not without reason that this country is without rain the way it is. And it's not without reason that Cape Town is struggling the way it is. It's not without reason And if it wasn't for the saints in the light in this nation, the anger of the Lord would be much more fierce upon our land. But we have prayed. Oh, dear Lord, we have prayed. And the Lord, thank God, did not screen himself away from the prayers that they should not. He didn't even want to listen to those prayers, because prayers have an impact on him. There you see it in the scripture. Prayers gets his, they get his attention. And so can any of the false gods bring rain? Can any of the false gods break the curse of drought? Can any of the false gods lift up the economy? Can any of the false gods do the things that will restore this nation to the potential beauty of a nation that God himself put together in the form that it is right now? Talents like I am so amazed at. That little piece there, just to give you one example, just had a little piece there of some artists in Soweto. I assume it's Soweto. Man, did that not get my attention? They did like a cheetah on a wall, and maybe some of you have seen those pictures where these guys just go, I don't know how they do it. But you talk about artistic. Eat your heart out, Michelangelo. I mean, we've got so much talent in this country. It needs to be unlocked. And everything gets unlocked through our prayer lives. And everything gets unlocked for you through your prayer life. That's how it works. If you return to the Lord, return is repent in Hebrew. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, no compromise, no toxic stuff, no verkeerde dinge, wrong things. If you return to the Lord with all of your heart and you pray, you cross through the gateway into heaven, to heaven's throne. I started speaking about that last night. And you have a man by the name of Daniel in the lion's den. And I particularly like this artwork where he's looking, he's facing the light. He's looking up at the light. You keep your eye on the light. Now, there is a few things to be said about Daniel here, right now at this point in time. Daniel, if you read the book from chapter number 1 to chapter number 12, if you read the book, every time there is a crisis, the prophet and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three men with Daniel, every time there's a crisis, they run to God. They consult with God. But they also have, can I almost say, a pre-life before the prayer life, the pre-life of no compromise. So the answers come through fast. There's not a delay on those answers. It's not like I first got to now repent of this, that, the other, and six other things. The answers come through very fast. And I have seen over this last year, the couple of things that I have prayed about that I've just quietly observed, and I've seen, wow, Lord, these things just happen just like that. Before you can even ask for those, already happened. Things fall into place. It just happens like that. I've spoken more about that, and I mean, I can get into the detail of that, of which I don't want to now. But there's some things that were stunning that in this past year, they just happened like that. Just happened. Before I can pray, it's there. And I'm thinking, Lord, how is this that you would open up? Frank Lobach wrote a book, Open Doors, Swinging, sweetheart, what is that title? Swinging Doors, Open Doors, Swinging Windows. It's a little booklet. It's almost like a monograph. It's like a tiny little booklet. And she stole my one. So I'll steal it back again. We've got the psychology that goes on there. She sneaks into my study, and then she goes out of my study, and then I feel for a book in the dark, and it's not there. And I said, where's my book? And I sneak back in her and I see on the table, that's my book. And then I quietly remove it and I just, nobody's hearing me. And I come back, only tomorrow morning the thing's gone again. Amen. But that's a good wife. She's into the Word of God. In the middle of the night, she does that all the time. So I allow her, as long as I get the occasional, I won't say what, because I'm on a Daniel fast. And I won't even let my mind go there, because I'm on a Daniel fast. So what you need to do is to understand that the pre-life, so to speak, the life before the prayer has got to be right. You have to understand this, that who connected for daylight? I'd like to make this thing practical. In your prayer life, start off by asking God to give you, to impart to you the fear of the Lord. Just begin with that. Never mind this, that, the other. Just begin asking God. Lord, the sevenfold spirit of God mentioned by the prophet Isaiah. What is the sevenfold spirit of God? I'm so glad you're asking me so many questions tonight. The sevenfold spirit of God, the book of Isaiah, is the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel, spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Spirit of wisdom, counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. It's all together in that sequence there. And if you look at the sevenfold spirit of the Lord, it ends off where it says, and his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And I have decided I'm going to delight myself in the fear of the Lord. Because if there's one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to make God angry. You don't want to get to the place where you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up here, and the Lord is angry because of a wrong lifestyle or a wrongdoing or compromise. Jy wil die Here nie kwaad maak vir jou nie. It's a fearful thing to land in the hands of the living God. So what you have to do is, I prayed for 2 years. I used to take the children to school and drop them at school. On my way to school, I would talk to the kids and then I would drop them off, and then on my way back, out there in the north of Johannesburg, close to the SABC. They were there in the primary school. And I would take them there, drop them off, and then all the way back home, I used to, in those days, pray one prayer. Lord, I am wanting the fear of the Lord. I don't want anything else. I don't want to say, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me money, give me riches, give me cars, give me this, give me that. Away with all of that stuff. Just give me one thing, the fear of the Lord. Because if the fear of the Lord in my life prevails, it'll keep me from stepping into wrong stuff. It'll preserve me from stepping into wrong stuff. I will be protected, because this thing is so sensitive, you just don't know. Okay. If I explain it to you like this, the name of the Lord in Hebrew, spells, and I'm not going to pronounce it because I will not use his name in vain. The name of the Lord in Hebrew spells, it's YHWH, which is Yod Vav Hey Vav. Yod Vav Hey Vav. So what do you have? Yod Vav Hey Vav. Take it a little bit further now. Just let me take it a little bit further. Yod Vav Hey Vav. Yod is a masculine letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yod Hey Vav. Yod Hey Vav Hey. YHWH, Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yod is masculine, Hey is feminine. Vav is masculine, Hey again is feminine. So you have in the name of the Lord, and we're created in His image and likeness, you have masculine, feminine, masculine, feminine. Now the Jewish people say that is a father and a mother and a son and daughter that are procreated. Nou moet julle mooi luister. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So, you have male-female, male-female. The Jewish rabbis say, father-mother, son and daughter. That's the way they interpret it. So, watch this thing, how it gets. Now the Lord must help you to get this thing because this has got to now come into focus, and I'm in focus on the flood of Noah. And if I go to the flood of Noah, then we see that God judges the earth. Okay? And then as He judges the earth for what's going on the earth, and Noah lived this side and that side of the flood. So there was Babylon on the one side and Genesis 6, which much can be said about the generation before the flood that causes the Lord to regret that He's even made man. And He said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. And then He gives Noah the commandment to start building the flood, and He builds the flood. So in that story of the flood, what have you got? You've got in the Hebrew, in the Bible codes, Hebrew Bible codes, a pictographic analysis and skip codes. If you don't understand what that is, don't worry too much about it. I do know what it is. And it's mathematical, and it's worked out at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Professor Rips and all those guys who work on this. There's a whole team of professors that work as their language. They take the pictures of the language and what it spells and what it means and its implications, okay? Now, follow me on this now. It says, destruction. Maus. That's Hebrew is Maus. Irabekasu, which means of the immune system. Then it says death in the blood in Hebrew. Then it says the fierce anger of the Lord. And then it says judgment, severe judgment. And then it says, why? And it says, AIDS. And then it says, AIDS in Hebrew. And then it says, hey, hey, female, female, yod vav, male, male. The order has been thrown. That's how sensitive that thing is. So it says, female, female, that's AIDS. If you take the Hebrew name for it, you have female, female, male, male letters. And then it says, destruction. And then it says, Satan. And it says, the snake. And it says, severe judgment. Just like that. Just like that. Now, listening to what the rabbis are saying, they're talking about this hey, hey, vav, hey. Let me just get that right now. It's hey, hey, yod, vav. That's AIDS in Hebrew. Hey, hey, yod, vav. Represents literally, we've been created in the image and likeness of God, represents a disharmony of the image and the likeness of God. Destruction, maos, of the immune system. Hey, hey, yod vav, AIDS. Death in the blood, Satan. See. It's getting quiet in this place. I think you're going to have to come to Bible school with me. And I could teach you for the whole year. We just go on from there. People don't understand. When you mess around with what God created, how God created, for procreation, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. If you mess around with that, you are under severity of judgment. Ma'os. Destructive judgment. Death in the blood. It's almost like Damascus, which means sack of blood, because Damascus is going to be like nothing. At the end of the next world war, there's not going to be anything of Damascus. And the fact of the matter is that this is how sensitive these things are, that we don't realize that messing around with the divine order of things literally impacts the name of God. It impacts the name of God. Did you get that? It's the same letters of the name of God now scrambled, the female letters to one side, the male letters to one side, and you presented that thing's called AIDS. And you look at the rainbow, and the rainbow in its colors are of the colors of the high priest's breastplate. They're completely holy because those colors, again, are coded to spell out also the name of God in color. Same thing. They shave, they were got a mashevokadava. Lehetava, the kesh, the ko, Hashem Adonai, Bershavo, Maoz. Irabekasu. Can the false gods of this world give rain? Davehe, Meshavo, Shevecha Davashalevo. So you come on a Tuesday night to the house of the Lord to hear the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. Yod Hey Vav Hey is the name of the Almighty God. You shall not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. I stand as a man of God. I'm not here for any purpose of, let's call it showboating. You know, sometimes they talk about the platform as the stage. I don't like that. It's really the area of the pulpit. It's the platform, the pulpit platform. This is what this is. It's not a stage. We're not a show. We worship God in this place. We pray in this place. We pray upon this platform. This is the place where the word of the Lord goes out. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You corrupt things that directly impact the name of the Almighty God. You must know there's judgment. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. So they start messing around in Sodom and Gomorrah. Bang, same thing happens. This time, fire from heaven. Same thing. Ma'oz. Destruction. Like that. There is a place there. I was looking at it now. Where the tar, the brimstone that rained from heaven is still there. In the banks, the sand banks that you find at the receding levels of the Dead Sea. It's now exposed what we perceive to be the city of Sodom. Right there by the mountains, not very far from the place called Masada, or Masada, if you will. And it's, you go there and you see, here people died. Angels walked in there. And the men of the city said, Where are those men that we may carnally know them? Bang! God. The Shavai, the Vor. HaShavai, Vechatamai, the Kashavolave. Can the gods of this world bring rain to the nation? Can the gods of this world? Can the gods, the false gods, fill the dams of this land? Or should there be a cessation of ancestral spirit worship, which is part of witchcraft? And the slaying of animals and their blood to false gods that could not counsel, that cannot speak and cannot. Is that there is no God in South Africa? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. He who departs from evil will see the light. Always have light on his countenance. She who prays to God with a heart of purity will have a meeting with a heavenly bridegroom. See, the Lord is in this place. When men begin to call things which are holy to God, it's okay. It's good. Let's do this. It's fine. We've got a right. Yes, you do have a right. God never created robots. When men call evil good and good evil, behold. Behold. Who was the one who determined what is good and what is evil? Isn't the one who determined what is good God Almighty Himself? So who am I or any human being to take what God forbids and turn it around and say it's okay? Davacha, Shem Namo, Livache, Deveshalevoshevi, Bahatavoshekanama. Shall I take what the Lord God the Almighty has spoken so clearly to be evil and call it good? I am then making my God part of what is wrong. I didn't think I'll go there. I was going to talk about Daniel and the lion's den and his prayer life. You know what? Einstein said, the next world war will be fought with sophisticated weapons. But if there yet remains a World War IV, it'll be fought with sticks and stones. And I agree with that. Because mankind is about to bring a thing called the atom on the scene. Mankind is about to judge itself. For the word has gone forth from Jerusalem. The good news to all the corners of the earth. The word of God is holy and pure. God sets the standard of what is holy and acceptable. To take something which is bitter and call it sweet, God says woe to that person. Because you never kid anybody, you kid yourself. Or are you kidding yourself if you do that? If you do things that God calls unholy. You break up the harmony wherewith the great Creator created this world. I got into some additional research because of the upcoming Bible school. I talk about the origins of the universe, but I realize it's more than just the origins. It's the unfolding of the entire story of the planet Earth and where it goes to and what happens and what goes wrong and why it goes wrong and the latest tests and stuff. And I have realized that we are in a phase where some of the visions which the Lord showed me last year are applicable right now. Right now. Like right now. I saw those dark angels. I saw them in action in the street. The Lord opened my eyes. I saw them at blistering speed coming down from heaven, touching the people. And when they touch a person, their heads turn into monsters. They go off their heads. They become distorted and they become spiky in their faces like a prickly pear leaf. But just with longer spikes and thorns on them. And I looked at this and I saw how the perversion of the world is spreading. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, Lord God, this is it today. Today. I was reading research work from different sources and I realized that there are things about to break loose on the earth like you have never seen before. And you know, I wish I had more time to talk to you and explain this to you. But the Antichrist is about to make a move. And if I say the Antichrist is about to make a move, that brings or pushes forward the catching away of the church, which some people, in all of their ignorance, do not understand the Bible, do not understand the Scripture, because they're not in the Scripture as they ought to be in the Scripture. They've not analyzed the Scripture properly. God is the God of order, and He tells you exactly what He's going to do. He declares the end from the beginning. That the church will rise up, be caught away, and meet the Lord in the air before the Antichrist is manifest. So the Antichrist won't get you. But what will get you is if you go off the track. What will get you if you call good evil and evil good? What will get you if you don't have the fear of the Lord? So what's the message of the night actually? Instead of wanting to talk about prayer, I spoke about the fear of the Lord. Fear God and keep His commandments. And let me tell you this. That the value system, can I say the Judeo-Christian value system, as set up by the Messiah, in perhaps including the most important sermon ever preached, which was in Matthew chapter number 5, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus opened His mouth and He spoke and He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When He spoke those words, He knew exactly what He was saying. Every word is coded. It's premeditated by Almighty God. It involves the mind of Christ in all of its glory and power. And then He says, in Matthew 7, He says, "He who hears these words of mine, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who built his house." The one who hears and does it is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And the winds began to blow. And the rains descended. And the floods beat against that house. But it remained standing. But I will show you what is the person who hears my words and does not do them. Do them. Doers of the word. Him who does not do what I tell them says the Lord. I will show you what he is like. One translation says, he's like a foolish man that built his house on the sand. And the winds began to blow, and the rains descended, and the floods beat against that house, and great was its fall. It's over. I am, and you are, a step, literally a step away from eternal life. And our choice to choose Jesus determinately, absolutely with determination, that choice of Jesus Christ is the single most important choice of your life. The revelation of the covenant power towards you, particularly now in a Daniel fast, when we pray more, when we read more, when we study more, when we meditate more, we spend more time, when we have little things like this to encourage the people and say, pray with us and we'll pray for you. Just fill this in. Let us know what you want us to help you with. We'll help you. That's what we're there for. We will help you to pray for whatever you're praying. This is the time in which any person takes serious stock-taking of his or her life and says, Lord, this is my choice. You see, you are the sum total of the choices that you've made in life. The choices you've made brought you to where you are. That's what you are. You're the sum total of the choices. The most important choice that any man, any woman, any child, anyone that breathes on this planet can make is to choose Jesus Christ. But if you choose Jesus Christ, remember that our God is a consuming flame. He's a consuming fire. And the wrath of the Lord is something to reckon with. If the Lord says, I am putting a shed, I'm shielding, I'm screening you off, your prayers are not going to work, then you must know there's a reason for that. Then you got to deal with that reason, deal with it thoroughly, or else face not music, face the damnation that goes with it. I said, Pastor, you speaking hellfire and brimstone? Yes, I am. Because this is what we're dealing with. It's a divine revelation of hellfire. I'm looking at the core of the earth. I'm looking at the inner core, the outer core. Then you get what you call the mantle, and then you get the crust. Now that mantle of the earth, is so massive, it stretches obviously right around the planet. In every direction, there is this level under us that is molten lava. It is a lake of fire. In Siberia, they drilled a hole and it fell through a roof. And then it was even in the Huisgenoot at the time in some magazines. And I've actually got copies of that where the drill falls through the roof. And you hear millions of people screaming with terror as they're being tormented. They have died. They're in the netherworld. He warns against those things. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. You see, what we need to understand, and for this I have to say to you tonight. I love all of you unqualifiedly, but I hate sin. Because I know what it'll do to you, what it'll do to your family, what it'll do in your family, what it'll do to your future. We love sinners, but we hate sin. And what God calls sin, we call sin. Welcome to Little Falls No Compromise Christian Center, my friends. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. So with this in mind, I've spoken things tonight that I never prepared for. But the Lord took me there, and so if the Lord takes me anywhere, he wants to, he just takes me anywhere. So the fact is that what God is saying to us is, everybody say detoxify. Let's use the Hebrew word for repentance. Everybody say return. Okay, we know that that means return to God. Everybody in this place say the fear of the Lord. Everybody say it's to depart from all evil. It's to shun the very appearance of evil. Help me, Jesus. I know, Lord, you love sinners. Else you wouldn't have come. I have sinned in my life. I ask your mercy. I repent tonight of any form of word, deed, thought, action, motive of anything that displeased you. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I commit myself to you. This is the Daniel fast. I shall be like Daniel. I will not allow any unclean thing to be absorbed in my system. I am holy. I am pure. I am a temple of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Give the Lord a praise. I forgive everybody right now. Well, I'll tell you, we got a few minutes and then I'm going to let you go. In fact, there's just this one, lupus, multiple sclerosis. It's Jeanette Cortegum. Where's the person? I must just pray over this, looks like. All right, let's just raise your hands towards this cloth then. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't care what name it's called by. If it's called whatever name it is, the power of that name is now broken by the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, the curse is broken. And in the name of Jesus, we loose the healing power of the wounds of Jesus right now into this cloth. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now listen to me real good. I want all the pastors right standing in the front. Would you all come? All my pastors, would you all come right to the front? Sunday school is going to close in a moment, but let me just set this up. Now listen to me now. You might have a problem in marriage. You might have a problem with children. You might have a problem with your body. You might have a problem with whatever, finances, whatever it is. All the pastors and their wives to be in the front. You are welcome to stay for a special personal prayer. And there are a lot of people praying, and they'll pray for you. And just shift a little bit this way. Just come a little bit, close a little bit in. They will pray for you, and they will impart to you and believe with you for a miracle. I'll be back with you tomorrow night. You are a rather quiet audience tonight. Amen. How many of you say, after all of that, you still love me and you still pray for me also? Come on. Give God a good praise offering. Amen. Amen. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to make a prayer. I'm going to release the people, the children, so the children can get out and go home so they can sleep. And then tomorrow night will be our big midweek service when we will take this thing to a climax. And maybe that wouldn't be so serious. I think it's time for a little bit of rejoicing and a flow of the Holy Spirit and some prophetic ministry and healing ministry and every other ministry that the Lord so deems good. Can you say amen? Will you all just stand, give the Lord a good praise offering right now? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It is when we hear these things that we hear. It's when we see the root text of the Bible. It's when we understand what we need to understand. The entrance and the unfolding of your word brings light. It brings us to the place where we realize that God is most holy. He is the most high God. He's the all most powerful God. And Lord, with that we also pray that, Lord, you will teach us the fear of the Lord, that you will teach us to walk with God. And Lord, as we detoxify in this time that we're here, we detoxify that, Lord, as we clean our lives in the fear of the Lord, give us the fear of the Lord. Everybody, men, women, and children, let them have the fear of the Lord. That reverential respect will cause us to stay away from stuff that you don't approve of. And Father, I pray tonight with all the people. I want everybody in this place. If you've got somebody near you, just take hands. Just take hands. If you've got somebody near you, take hands. Father, Now look at me now, everybody. Raise your hands like that. And everybody agree with me over this next prayer. Father, and I pray for rain. The gods of this world, the false gods, can't give it. But you can. You can. You can bring the rain. You can bring plenty of rain. For both the Cape and for here. Lord, all the corruption, all the immorality, all the corruption, immorality and idolatry in this country has brought us to a place where we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, acknowledge our guilt as Daniel the prophet did in Daniel chapter number 9. And he said, Lord, hear, Lord, forgive. And tonight I pray, Lord, that you will not screen us off. You will not bring a cloud between us and you that no prayer can pass through, but that you would hear from heaven above, and that you would grant water for this nation, and that, Lord, you will touch the leaders of this land, and that the leaders of this nation will be blessed with wisdom and with counsel and with the fear of the Lord, with insight and foresight, and that, Lord, the land in itself will have a financial, economical revival. That the rand will increase in its power. That, Lord, our currency will cause the petrol price to drop. It will cause the fuel price, the transport costs, and things will become cheaper in the shops. We pray in the name of Jesus that our land be blessed. We ask it for the sake of the body of Christ. Your people that are so many in this nation, we stand in the gap for the land and we say, Lord, send the rain. Only you can command the clouds. We ask it in the name, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ the Messiah, through the blood of Jesus and through the veil of his flesh, we approach the throne room of grace and we ask for your grace that you would pour out rain. Bring us a big surprise this year. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Hallelujah.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.